This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Here's the 0-2 to Ohtani. Bounce it at first. This'll do it. Bush takes it to the bag, and the Cubs win the series. The Cubs have taken 2 out of 3 here at Dodger Stadium. A 1-2-3 save for Ryan Pressly. And the Cubs played some great baseball here all weekend long, Ron, at Dodger Stadium.
1-2. Swing and a miss, strike 3. And the White Sox will lose the finale of this 3-game series, 3-1 against the Red Sox.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We've got Brad Biggs sitting in today, and Bob Nightingale joins us on the Score hotline, the Aturo Tire hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Bob, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, morning. How you guys doing?
We're doing okay. We're holding up. Both our teams won a series over the weekend, one kind of a real shocker, and the other one maybe less of a surprise, but still a great victory, the Cubs at the L.A. Dodgers. And I'm curious, when you hear the news about Justin Steele, do you think that warrants an immediate move? Does that mean they got to kind of start looking to make a move? Does that mean a trade is imminent at some point for the Cubs?
I think they immediately start looking. I mean, no panic whatsoever. Still got 6 months left of the season. But I think it's like, okay, we'd like to have a frontline guy, to help us down the stretch or certainly help through October. So it kind of opens the phone lines like, okay, hey, Miami, when you're ready to deal, send out Contra, we're here. Herman Marquez of Colorado, hey, keep us on the radar. So it just puts them, I think, to the forefront like, okay, well, when these guys start to move starters, we want to be right there in the conversation.
How do you feel, if you're a Cub fan, how do you feel about Ryan Pressly at the back end of that bullpen? And he closed out the ball game yesterday in L.A. Against some pretty good hitters. But from what we've seen so far this year, a little bit shaky, certainly easier to go shopping for relief help than front-end starter. But I'm curious if Pressly can be their closer. Like, can he get to Memorial Day as their closer? And I don't know.
Oh, I believe so. And this guy has done it before, proven veteran. Some guys just live on the edge. I mean, what Kenley Jansen has, 450 career saves, he's done that a lot. You've seen guys over the years. There's hardly that many guys outside, Mariano Rivera, Trevor Hoffman, that did those, 1, 2, 3 innings. Craig Kimbrell was notorious for doing that. So, when you think about it, there's only a couple guys that don't do that. Josh Hader of Houston is one of them.
Class A's struggled so far this year in Cleveland a little bit anyway.
Yeah, he's been very erratic. One great season, one struggling season. So, no, I think Pressly's one of the least of worries.
Bob, you wrote over the weekend that the White Sox had some talks with the Dodgers. The Dodgers tabled a deal that would have sent Luis Robert Jr. To L.A. And it was interesting because you know, we know they were talking about James Outman, and they were also talking about kind of a top prospect to go with him. And, you know, I would imagine that's probably why the talks didn't go anywhere. Are the Sox, is there asking price for Robert, given the way things have gone for him, not just to open this season, but really last year? Is that why the talks were tabled? And by tabled, does that mean they could rekindle? Could Philadelphia want to get back involved? What about, you know, Cincinnati? I don't know who, but they clearly want to move this guy, and they are asking a lot to do so.
No, you're right on all fronts. Yeah, they definitely want to move him, and they have, you know, a high opinion of him. They still think he can be a star. I mean, he hasn't proven to be that guy, very injury prone. Obviously, you want to move him again before he gets hurt, you know, if he does get hurt. But they're going to have a high asking price. You know, if they're just going to dump him for money, they would have done so during the winter or done it in spring training. So they got to get something back in return. You know, a guy like James Outman is a perfect fit. I mean, fabulous defensive player, just hasn't hit yet. You know, maybe, you know, one day he will, but a tremendous defensive player. So, but they want, you know, more than that. You know, they'd like to get at least a 2-for-1 package. So I think, you know, it's one of those things where they'll let teams know all year long, hey, if you're looking for a center fielder, give us a call, because there's so few center fielders that are available.
Yeah, I feel like Luis is, number one, he's going to have to stay healthy, which has been the bugaboo, and he's going to have to hit. And if he can accomplish both of those, they ought to find a suitor, but that's a big if between now and sometime in July, right?
It is. Well, you know, a lot of times guys struggle in April. That's why what Kyle Tucker's doing is so impressive, because usually, hey, you go to Chicago and the cold days and stuff, it takes a while to heat up. I know if you guys pull Kyle Tucker before the season starts, if you're hitting 230 after April, take it, you know, especially going from a dome to cold weather. And he's done unbelievable so far.
Bob, you know, you wrote recently that friends of Jerry Reinsdorf say that he's not interested in selling the White Sox, that the whole Justin Ishbia thing, he's pushed back on the overtures about that. I think I've got two questions regarding that. One would be, you know, because Jerry never pushed back when that was reported. Why does he not mind that being out there? Why does he want people to know that? And then the other question would be, what was Ishbia and his brother, if he's with him on this, what were they thinking when they decided not to pursue the Twins to kind of invest more with the White Sox? Didn't that seem like an arrangement that was made to get them out of Twins talks?
No, I mean, what has been Ishbia has been trying to get this franchise for years, you know, at least 5 to 10 years. And Jerry Reinsdorf would continually say, it's not for sale, not for sale. Quit asking me. And so what Ishbia did was just buy up everybody's, you know, minority shares and say, okay, let me put myself in position. I think he pivoted from Minnesota to the White Sox simply because the reason everybody else is, nobody thought the Twins' price is worth it. They're over $450 million in debt. They thought the 1.7 is too high. So they say, why go to a losing place? Well, I'll just try to wait for the White Sox. And Jerry Reinsdorf's friends have said he's got no interest in selling. He loves baseball, still loves the White Sox. Why sell something when you enjoy it? You certainly don't enjoy the losing, but, you know, as long as you're having fun with it, enjoy going to ball games, go in and hang on to it, you know, until your health does allow you to.
Well, I mean, you certainly could construct a case that he could sell and continue to enjoy baseball, and heck, he could get himself a suite and rolled into the deal too, I would imagine, if he sold.
Sure,
but
sure.
Yeah, it White Sox fans have, as you understand, Bob, have some deep-seated frustration, I think, is the kind way of putting it. But the starting pitching is been better this year, and that's without Crochet and a guy like Fetty. So I think they're just hoping to see a little more excitement on the South side throughout the course of this season. And if this past weekend was, you know, if they can replicate that every other homestand, maybe they're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Houston Astros do that, where you just got, you know, pummeled, you know, losing 110 games a year. Baltimore Orioles did that, and you see where, you know, the Astros created a dynasty. You know, Orioles, one of the best young teams in all of baseball. You know, the painful part for the White Sox is having to do this again so quickly after the first one. But I don't think money's, you know, even if the White Sox got Juan Soto, they're still going to lose 100 games. So it's not like a Pittsburgh Pirates, you know, where you're wasting the great young rotation by not spending, or some of these other places. They just need talent. I think if there comes a day they're close again, yeah, then they'll buy some players up. But right now they just need to, you know, get back in the thick of things with, you know, young talent and hope it works out. And they gotta hope they need that Garrett Crochet trade to work out. You know, when they move Roberts, you need that trade to work out. And some of those others, you know, have not so far.
You know, what's curious about it is I think it was Sportico that released their franchise valuations, and the Sox are so undervalued compared to the Cubs in the same city. So the lack of earning that's going on, the value of the franchise, etc. It's almost like a sleeping giant. Like if you had someone like Ishbia take over, you feel like they could win a lot faster than they're winning with the payroll cutting that's going on with Jerry right now.
Yeah, see, I don't know it can turn to be a great franchise money wise, but I think it's got to move towards Soldier Field or something like that for it to do so. The trouble is there's just not that area around there where you're making money. And that's where these teams make a killing, whether it's the Cubs, Atlanta, St. Louis, Colorado, you know, those places have the Battery and the Ballpark Village, those kind of things. You know, the Cubs have Wrigleyville. White Sox don't have that. It's not like they're making money off the field around the surrounding neighborhood. So that's why the huge difference between the two franchises is you're just not making money off the field, where I think if they were able to move towards Soldier Field, then I think you see a different thing, a different product.
So switching back to the other side of town, discussion over the weekend about the possibility of the Cubs working out some type of extension with Pete Crow Armstrong. We've seen more and more of those happen over the last couple of years. I think Christian Campbell in Boston might be the most recent example of a guy to get one of those deals. How realistic is that? And is it something that could be, you know, maybe that takes place next spring? Who knows?
Yeah, I would think, you know, if those things happen during the winter, spring, you don't see that many, you know, once the season starts. That's what's unusual. Obviously, those conversations all took place during the spring, and then just kind of carry over. But a lot of times, guys just, you know, want to go year by year. I mean, if you believe in yourself, if you're Pete Crow Armstrong, you believe you can be an all-star caliber player, then you're not going to sign an extension. I mean, these extensions are all, you know, usually team-friendly, outside of Vladimir Guerrero's. The Jackson Merrill, the young center fielder for the Padres, was an absolute steal. 9 years for $135. This guy's running with the top players in baseball. He may have left over $200, $300 million on the table. So usually this guy signed an extension because, you know, just to get the security, but they're usually always team-friendly deals. So I think that's why, you know, I haven't talked to Pete Crow or Armstrong about this. I'm sure he's thinking, you know, what the guarantee was is certainly not worth it. I think I can be better than this.
Yeah, because those guys in those arbitration years can get, even before they hit the marketplace, can earn tremendous amount just on the going year to year.
Yeah, I remember Tim Lincecum when he came with the Giants. They never signed a new extension, and he made an absolute killing just going year by year. Scott Boras clients, they do that. You know, once in a while they'll sign maybe a 2-year deal, but they never give up a year of free agency. in all these cases with extensions, you're giving up, you know, 2-3 years of a free agency, and that can be very valuable. I mean, who knows what the market's going to look like, you know, in the next, you know, collective bargaining agreement. You know, maybe there'd be more money for players.
Bob, Carson Kelly got hit by a pitch yesterday on his hand. He has been kind of a revelation. I mean, the day before Saturday, he had 3 hits and 2 homers, 3 RBI. He has been so much of a contributor offensively. You just worry that he's okay and that he's not going to be out for a while.
Yeah, I mean, he's really turned his career around. Remember, he came from St. Louis in the Paul Goldschmidt trade. And, you know, he was blocked by Yadi Molina. Cardinals had high expectations. And, you know, it never happened in Arizona. Never came that player. You know, then bounced around, came back to Arizona, was released. The Tigers, you know, were desperate for some backup catching, so they gave him a shot. And he performed well for them. And he's done, you know, great for the Cubs. But, yeah, credit to him for turning his career around. He was on the verge of, you know, being out of baseball for good. And now he's a very viable backup. So, yeah, that'd be a big loss if he's out for long, just because he's a really mainstay in that clubhouse, too.
The Cubs headed from L.A. to San Diego, and they've already seen the Padres once this season. They came into Wrigley. How surprised have you been by the start for the Padres, where this season starts and the Dodgers are going to win the division and the Diamondbacks are talented and the Padres have talent, but you don't know where they're going to wind up? They've been playing fantastic ball to this point.
They really have. I mean, they're kind of thin. You worry about their depth. If they have a big injury, unlike the Dodgers, they're in deep trouble. But yeah, I mean, this is a team that should have won the World Series last year. They had the Dodgers, you know, by the throat, up 2-1. Game 4, the deciding game is in San Diego. And then, you know, Dodgers are pitching a bullpen game, they lose. They go back to LA and lose again. So this team's built to win right now. Right now, they're the best team in baseball, not the Dodgers. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of fun to see them, what they've done. I mean, to pitch 3 straight shutouts against the Rockies. I know it's the Rockies, but still, 3 straight shutouts is impressive. And, hey, if the Cubs can win a series in San Diego after winning one in L.A., be really fired up, because they've had a brutal stretch of schedule in April. And just to be over 500 is an unbelievable start for them.
Yeah, I think the Cubs get L.A. back at Wrigley Field again here soon too. Like they're gonna see a whole lot of Dodger blue in the first 30 games of the year.
Yeah, they come back because those 2 games kind of as home games for the Cubs in Tokyo, and then they come back for two in April. But yeah, I mean, if you're the Cubs, go, you know, kind of, ooh, we're done with that tough schedule. You know, now we can go ahead and you know pummel the rest of the NL Central, because if your teams. That's where you want to be these days. You want to be the NL Central, the AL Central. Because I think realistically, the NL Central, the Cubs are probably thinking, you know, you can never count out the Brewers, but probably, you know, the only team they're really thinking hard about is Cincinnati Reds, you know, as far as being a threat to them to win the Central.
Right.
And the Reds are so strange because they've been a failed contender for a while, right? You just don't understand why they haven't fired, and now you figure they change managers, that they should be better than they are right now.
Yeah, I mean they lost all those 1-0 games, which is mind-boggling. You know, they're kind of worried about their offense. McLean is, you know, unbelievable second baseman. So Matt McLean, he'll be back from the injured list pretty soon here. But Hunter Green's the best pitcher on the planet right now. You know, another 7 shutout innings. So Francona's a Hall of Fame manager for a reason.
Yeah.
I think the Reds will be there all season. I mean, I think they'll be knocking the door for division title or at least a wild card spot.
Great stuff, Bob. Thanks a ton. Really appreciate your time.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you, guys. Take care.
That is Bob Nightingale, USA Today MLB columnist. Does a great job. He's a lot of insight into the White Sox thinking for sure.
Yeah, and that's going to be interesting. Like that is the topic for Sox fans.
I know.
And until further notice is the ownership situation, which is unfortunate, but it's that's reality right now.
What do you think? Shane Smith, we were talking about this last week. He apparently, now the Brewers let him, made him available in the Rule 5 draft. I heard Chuck Garfine and Ozzy talking about it last week, that he apparently taught himself a changeup when he went, like, over the summer. He just worked on a changeup. He came up with this changeup. It's not like a very, it's not like a typical changeup, but he basically taught himself a new pitch. And Stoney told us he could never throw a changeup. He could never figure that pitch out. And this guy did it without being taught it. Isn't that a bizarre reality?
You look nowadays, and there's so many
Pitching ninja.
Exactly. We don't need to start a pitching ninja conversation.
We like pitching ninja,
but there's resources like Pitching Ninja, which that's one of the beauties of what he does. Is he'll have a 12-minute interview with a pitcher where talk to me about your grip, talk to me about this, and you know, just seeing the grip isn't going to help you throw the pitch, but it gives you the beginning of an understanding of what you need to do to try to manipulate it. And his stuff's been fantastic. He's been entertaining to watch. And
can that hold up?
I mean, that's a like. Listen,
when you go around a few times, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. But the Brewers have done a pretty darn good job of player development and bringing pitchers along for a while. Yeah. You've seen them be competitive as one of these smaller market clubs. Yes. So generally speaking, I think the Brewers haven't made a whole lot of really poor decisions. We'll have to see if this is, like, he could be really good for the Sox and not be quite as good as he's been to this point, right? Yes, we need a larger sample size.
Fair enough. All right. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw. We've got Big Z here this morning on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Justin Steele's going to have surgery. Repair the flexor tendon, address the UCL. He's out for the season, and probably have better timetables after the surgery. It's just a probably deteriorating situation. Yeah, nothing. You know, I mean, it flared up again for sure, but you know, to the point of it's just going to keep happening.
Mully and Haw, Brad Biggs, the Tribune football man who knows everything about baseball, sitting in this morning, impressing John Heyman, among others, a lot of texters. And that's the voice of Craig Counsell. Man, that's a weird little news conference. That was a real kind of a shocker to hear him kind of explain that in the fashion in which he did.
Was just matter of factly.
He
missed time last season with an elbow
issue. Yeah,
and comes back. I think he made two starts near the end of the year for them, but the velocity was down this year. A couple ticks, and that's
not a good sign.
Oftentimes a. It's not a good sign, and oftentimes it's a telltale of, like, something's not right here. Like, it's one thing for the velo to be down on March 8th in a spring training start because you're just getting ramped up. Well, we're here in mid-April now, so, you know, hopefully they don't find a whole lot when they go in there. But he's out for the year, and they've got to adjust now, and then consider what the possibilities would be with a pivot with some type of roster move. Imanaga, like I saw somewhere where they talked about Steele being the ace. Imanaga's
the ace.
After that, Boyd's been fantastic. You've got he's 34.
That last?
Like how many
Never give up on a left-hander.
Yeah,
but the
how long is it going to last, or how many innings are you going to get out of him this year? How much of a load is he going to be able to carry?
He's done very well.
Ben Brown was fantastic at L.A. He threw strikes. Yes. He avoided.
Did you say 70% of his 70%, pitches?
Yeah, he was at 70%. And so he's avoiding these 2-0, 3-1 counts where
J-Mo is professional. He's kind of a third starter.
Yeah, I mean, fair. If he's going well, he's a third.
Yeah.
He hasn't done that yet. So, you know, like, I think it was.
Colin Rea had a good outing yesterday.
Yeah, well, and I thought Bruce made a really good point. Like, they were able to stretch him out to get him 60 some odd pitches.
Yes.
And the way their schedule sets up moving forward here, they're going to have built in off days where they're not going to need to go to that number five guy. So you can continue to kind of stretch him out. You're hoping Javier Assad looks good when he's ready to throw in Iowa. And then you evaluate. And, you know, it's never easy to trade for a frontline starter. That's really hard to do in April, right? Teams aren't just selling off their best parts in April and even May. But big weekend for him. Big weekend for him. Yeah. And the bullpen, maybe the one thing we really haven't
touched on is
the bullpen was fantastic all weekend.
Last night they had, what, three scoreless innings from three different guys, from Merriweather? Presley came in.
Yeah,
I'm
because
just
it
saying,
was
they,
basically a bullpen game. And they got, what, 3 1/3, 3 2/3 out of Ray, I believe. So it's almost like a bullpen game for them. But they were terrific coming out of the bullpen all weekend in L.A. Now they, head down to San Diego.
I would imagine at some point they're going to have to go outside the organization and bring in a starting pitcher.
Yeah, because they're going to have another injury pop up here, right?
And the reality is that, you lost a guy. He's gone for the year. And you're in a season where it's kind of – we were calling it 90 wins or bust at one point, which maybe they don't need 90, maybe 88 to do it. But they need to win the division. They need to make the playoffs. They need to make some noise because Jed's coming out of contract. This is it. You're gonna have to show that you've done something and you've built something. And they invested in Tucker, who could be one and done. He may be too expensive to keep here. I think he's going to have an awesome season. I felt that way from the minute he came in.
You love when a player is saying, I'm ready to bet on myself.
Exactly.
If you don't want that, then what do you want?
The gold is there at the end of the rainbow.
And I'm swinging for it.
And that's what he's doing. He's gonna have a hell of a year. I really believe that.
Because if he wasn't betting on himself, he would have taken some smaller deal already from the Astros. But like he'd still be in Houston.
But you need him. You need him to have all the help that is needed. You need him to lead your offense while you have pretty good pitching, and you're going to need another starter just because you've invested so much in this one year with everything at stake. You're going to have to be able to make a move here. Now, I get it. Maybe not this month, maybe not next month. Whenever you get toward the trade deadline, and I thought Bob did a good job of explaining the telephone lines are open. You're now calling, if you're going to do something here, you're going to do something there.
Right. Like, when you're ready to make a move.
Keep us in mind.
Yeah, give us a call. And as John Heyman said, he had a list of double digit.
Yeah, he had a
number
lot of players.
And now saying, hey, maybe Toronto's not selling if they're in it this year. Maybe this team's not selling, but
once that is determined, then off you go. And the thing about the Cubs, say what you want about whether they're spending all the Bellinger money, if they haven't made a move yet, they've got a minor league system that is loaded. They've got a lot of good players, some of whom may be blocked. And they can afford to give up a couple of high prospects to get
well. And if you were going to aim big, if you're going to aim big and you're going to get with the Miami Marlins and you're going to say, hey, we want Sandy Alcantara, like that's costing you a minimum of two top prospects. Minimum. Yeah. Yeah. And it might be two top prospects and a wild card guy, which a wild card is a younger player that's a little bit lower down in the rankings, and it's like a lotto ticket. And if they say that's what the price tag is, I think if you're the Cubs, you want us to send them on the jet, or do you want to send your jet for them? Like we're doing it.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, again, I think they've got some time to just watch how things are unfolding, but that's got to be now on the agenda.
And you've got to hope that the rest of your guys can take the turn.
Yes.
Every fifth day that they remain healthy, because you start having multiple injuries pile up there, and then you've got
now you've got a time issue.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You got
then things become really tough, because like I mentioned earlier, like Cade Horton, like how many innings can he throw this year? Period. Mm. At all levels combined.
Yeah.
34 innings pitched last year, 80 some odd in 2023, the year before. Like, I think 90, 100 on the outside that's like best case scenario, right?
Yeah. So you just bide your time with him?
Yeah, you got to be real careful with him, because if you ask that guy to go out this year and throw 145, 150 innings, I don't see how he's going to hold up.
Dustin, are you in panic mode yet?
No, I'm very curious to see how things pan out tonight with Jameson Taillon have to make a step up. The Padres are undefeated at home. I know it's early, but they're 10-0 at home.
They were undefeated for the season when they came into Chicago and got beaten 2 out of 3.
And I believe that Jordan Wicks is going to end up being the guy that ends up getting the next full start. I know, obviously, who they used yesterday, but that was kind of an opener. Colin wasn't ready.
Yeah, but Ray made, like, at least 20 starts, I want to say, for the Brewers last year. Like, he can...
Oh, he could do it. He's another piece, but I think Jordan Wicks is going to be given an opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, why is he here? Otherwise, why is he here? He left Iowa to come with the team out west. What's the point? You're going to use him out of the bullpen now? You know what I mean? I just think the next time they get to that point, and Assad is about to make his first rehab appearance or workout either in Arizona or somewhere.
All right. We're going to bring in Marshall Harris, and I believe Mark Grody is in today. So we'll get a chance to talk to those guys. We should let you know that Transition on 670 The Score brought to you by Webb Hyundai in Highland or Merrillville, Indiana. Get the vehicle you deserve at the payment you want at Webb Hyundai. Do we have anything else, Dustin? Was I supposed to do something else? Didn't you want a massage of some sort? I'll run in there during the break. He needs a shoulder rub. What is that?
Let's keep that off of Twitch.
Are you allowed to do that sort of thing to me? I'm calling HR. All right. We've got Grody time with Marshall Harris next. It's Mully and Haw. He's the great Brad Biggs on The Score.